Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. This weekend on the Roundtable, we take a look at downsizing the government. Things are certainly happening in Washington, and if Governor Ron DeSantis has his way, much the same could be happening here in Florida. Helping us understand what this could look like is Lisa Gamble, the author of Turnaround, How to Change Course When Things Are Going South. Lisa's a former staffer in the Reagan administration and U.S. ambassador. Most of us would agree that improving efficiency at all levels of government is essential. Lisa Gamble helps us see the new hows and whys and what it could look like this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us on the Florida News Network as we explore downsizing and its impact on all of us here on the Florida Roundtable.
Feeling the aches and pains of everyday life slowing you down? Introducing Blue Emu, America's number one emu oil formula for pain relief. In a recent clinical trial, 91% of users saw improvement after using Blue Emu. Whether you're working hard, playing harder, or just staying active, Blue Emu penetrates deep to relieve joint and muscle pain fast. And best of all, you won't stink. Join the 91% who felt the difference. Find Blue Emu at your local retailer or online. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink.
Wearing a life jacket or personal flotation device is one of the most important decisions you can make while boating. Today, there are several types of life jackets available, so you can find one that's comfortable and convenient to wear no matter what you're doing. And thanks to incredible advances in inflatable technology and innovative materials development, safety and comfort can both be a priority. Stay safe, stay comfortable, wear it Florida. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. That's 800-513-1652.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Joining me, Lisa Gamble, and we're going to let Lisa introduce herself and her history and what got her here as we take a look at government efficiency and its impact for the rest of us. Lisa, you worked in the Reagan administration. You were an ambassador for this country. Quite a background. Let's talk about you for a minute. By the way, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's really exciting to be able to talk about these issues. Yes, I started in the Reagan administration when I was 19. I was part of the team that privatized student loans. And then I went on to do turnarounds in business, government, and philanthropy. And I wrote a book called Turnaround, How to Change Course When Things Are Going South that was on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list.
Very good. Let's talk in the Reagan administration. And well, let's go to the ambassadorship. You were a delegate at the UN. What other duties did you have there?
Well, as an ambassador, I was the U.S. ambassador to the World Expo, and I actually ran the only privatized operation of U.S. engagement. This goes back to when the Eiffel Tower was built, and it was an activity that was supposed to be about business development, and it had turned into an activity that was about a lot of parties and a lot of spending. And so I privatized it 100%. We actually delivered under budget.
Well, that's fantastic. That's good to hear. And it's a good start considering where we are today. As you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., a lot of frenzied activity in these first 2 months or first month and now into the second month of a Trump presidency with a goal of creating government efficiency, which is a big elephant to tackle. How are you seeing what's happened so far and what are you seeing out of it?
Sure. I am all about government efficiency. I've been writing and speaking about it for 40 years, and it's something that we have got to do. We are 36.5 trillion dollars in debt. were operating on systems that were designed before the cell phone. Having said that, I wish the communication related to what people are going to get in exchange, how this is going to change our lives. There are a lot of positive messages that are getting lost in all of the conversation about the job losses.
Yeah, that's very true. I can see where that would be the case. And in some areas, let's start with USAID, a lot of panic over dollars lost, potential jobs lost. But when you look at some of the things the money's been spent on, you wonder why this hadn't happened before.
You do. And I think that's the challenge that we have today. I am actually engaged in two organizations that were very negatively impacted by the USAID cuts. Yet at the same time, what I fully recognize is that you had a bureaucracy that ballooned. It was spending money on things that the people in America weren't interested in spending money on. And so we've created a crisis. And so good people are losing their jobs. Good programs are actually not going to be continuing. But at the same time, there are millions and millions of dollars that were being spent on things that people in America would not have chosen to spend their tax dollars on.
I have a neighbor. I just talked to this neighbor this week, and she received one of those emails that was, give me 5 bullet points to justify your existence. When you've got someone like an Elon Musk coming in, good at running his own businesses efficiently, look what he did when he took over X, a different for an employee. And my neighbor talked about her coworkers panicking over this. If you're doing a job, you can show what you've been doing. I don't see a reason for panic here. What about you?
Well, when I go into a turnaround, I actually do the same thing. I would say, and so I do ask people to itemize for me, what are the primary objectives and key results and deliverables that they had during that week so that I can actually understand what it is that people are doing and where we need to perhaps help people be more efficient. The problem with the communication, I think, is that it was not prefaced with any additional communication. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with being empathetic and saying, thank you for your service. We appreciate all that you've done for our country, but we're trying to assess where we are going to be spending our dollars next. So as part of this effort, we need you to tell us what are your objectives and key results on a weekly basis. That is a normal process in business, and it is a requirement of actually being able to rank and rate what we do and how we spend our money.
Very good. And going into that world for Elon Musk, a little different than he's done on the private side. We explore it more, government efficiency and its impact, as we continue. Stay with us.
Mosquitoes are a nuisance. They can transmit deadly diseases like Zika and West Nile virus. Protect yourself with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Placed in ponds, bird baths, or any standing water, Summit Mosquito Dunks are harmless to people, pets, and wildlife, but kill mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite and last for 30 days or more. Find Summit Mosquito Dunks at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed. High. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable with Lisa Gable, former Reagan staffer and ambassador for this country. And Lisa, you've been involved in turnarounds where, look, the economy needed a turnaround. It needs a turnaround, and it's not going to be overnight. Tell us a little bit about the experiences you've had and what you've seen that we might expect as Washington, D.C., and now Governor Ron DeSantis here in Florida talking about a Department of Government efficiency here. You don't dig into this without a little bit of pain, but it seems to be necessary, like therapy after shoulder surgery or something.
It is necessary. And what people forget is that the private sector has been going through great change also. We are at an inflection point. With the introduction of AI, we're going to see massive changes in how we manufacture, how we do our work. And so all entities, whether it's government, business, and philanthropy, have got to get their acts together and anticipate that there will be downsizing. We will be operating in different ways. It's time to get your efficiency shop in order. And even though cuts are hard, we need to make them now, and then what we need to do is visualize the future and help train people to operate in the future world.
That's quite a task, I would think. How have you seen it work in the past?
Well, I have to say, I spend a lot of time with governors, including Ron DeSantis, and the governors have done an incredible job over the last 3 years in getting certification programs instituted in community colleges. In fact, one of the governors was telling me that 60% of the people who are getting recertified are individuals who are over 50. And so there are programs that exist. And anyone who's listening that you've been in a position where you're worried that it's going to disappear, I highly recommend that you look at your community college. That's where Republican governors have been spending their money. They have been anticipating that we're going to go through these changes. And there are a lot of programs. I myself took an AI class and got certified in AI. My daughter's doing the same.
I'm centered on the Florida Space Coast, and we've got programs now in our high schools that are getting workers ready for this amazing future that's coming in the space program and certifications through our high schools, our local state college and the like. Essential for an area like this if we're expecting those jobs to come, which they will as this industry grows.
Absolutely. And the other thing people don't remember is something that has been deemed as dirty jobs. Well, guess what? The highest paying jobs right now are welders, right? They're people who are working on manufacturing lines. And so do you need to take 4 years of classical education, or instead do you as a individual see a future where you could actually learn how to weld? You could learn how to do some other type of task that's going to be required that takes a physical engagement that may not require having 4 years of college. So I think people need to reset our framework and how we approach graduation from high school and also future training.
Yeah, that's very wise. I want to take you back to the Department of Government Efficiency and what's starting right now. And it's just a start in Washington, D.C., and will be starting here in Florida. There seems to be resistance at a lot of turns. I understand employees being worried, but you also have groups that receive these funds that are filing lawsuits. You've had a judge issue orders to President Trump twice now over what appears to be an executive responsibility over the administration of these funds, yet a judge is saying you've got to throw these funds back out there right now. How does an administration handle those kind of struggles with the responsibility and the goals that they have?
Yeah, well, they're plowing forward, and I think that they have to show fortitude. Again, I would highly recommend that they work on their communication style through this, mm-hmm. but what they're doing needs to happen. And so we are literally at a crisis point. I don't think the American people understand how far behind we are in our manufacturing right now, our access to minerals, our ability to pay our debt, our ability to train and employ people. We are at a crisis point, and so big changes are required. But at the same time, we could communicate what people are going to be getting in return. I anticipate, based on my work, that we will see a more responsive government process. We're seeing it in other countries, and I'd love to get to where other countries are with e-government.
As you mentioned communication, it's been my experience, not that because I'm in the communication business now. I started out in the real world as a policeman. And whatever endeavor you have, communication is key to any kind of success. And I think if I see a failure out of Elon Musk at the moment, is he's used to being very direct, having employees who report directly to him. And as he walks into a world that he doesn't necessarily have that familiarity with, he's communicating in a fashion like he might in his own company, but government employees are not used to that kind of directness through the chain of command directly to them. What communication tips would you give the Department of Government Efficiency right now?
Thank people for their service. That's what you need to do. Say thank you for your service. We appreciate everything that you've done. You're good people. We know that you've worked very, very hard. The problem is that the systems on which you're operating were built for a different period of time, right? A lot of the departments and agencies were developed and designed before 1986. I need people to realize that. They were designed before the cell phone. They were designed before the personal computer. And so people have been doing workarounds for 40 years.
Wow.
And we appreciate how hard people have worked in order to do those workarounds, but we need to fundamentally innovate and restructure how government operates.
It's the prerogative of every administration to put like-minded people around themselves in secretary positions, in director positions, and that transition happens every 4 or 8 years, depending on the change in politics of those administrations. How deep does this government have to look, based on what's gone on over the last 12, 16 years, to making changes within the structure of the management of this government?
We need to look very deep, and we're going to have to do deep cuts. But again, what we need to start doing before, as we make those cuts, is we need to replace systems very rapidly so services are not affected. There are a lot of people who, we have an aging population. A lot of that aging population lives in Florida, highly dependent upon certain services and Medicaid. A lot of people, like myself, we would have been happy to stay on our own insurance, but we were forced to go into Medicaid. And when you're forced to go into Medicaid, you actually have a very difficult time getting and paying for out-of-pocket services that you need. So as Elon and everyone is doing this rapid change, I do need them to think about what this does for someone on a daily basis if the transition pieces aren't in place. That's what I'm personally worried about as I've taken care of elderly family members, a sick husband. We didn't choose the system, don't like Obamacare, never wanted it to happen, but we're kind of stuck with it. So you need to move people in a very transitioned way so services aren't interrupted and they can actually transition into the private sector on a market-driven platform, or people who really need those services have access to them.
President Trump faced stern resistance in his first term. Now in his second term, seems to be moving within the first 100 days at a very rapid pace and seems to have learned some lessons about D.C. and the people around him. But yet there is still that undercurrent of bureaucrat employees who have been there for a long time and believe their job is to just outlast the administration until there's another one. What's your best advice to them for that?
I think that they have shown during the last 2 months, you're not going to outlast them. They are going to starve you out. And I am not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's reality. It's the truth. And so they have walked into this administration with a certain set of goals. They are literally going to go to battle over things that they believe in. And now is the time to not put up the white flag, but offer to be part of the solution. And we, if people can step forward with what I call the 60-40 rule, you can agree 60% of the time, you can disagree 40% of the time, let's focus on the 60%. But this process of it's all or nothing, it can't continue.
That's interesting to see. During that first administration, we did start seeing manufacturing repatriate into the country. Seems like that slowed down over the last 4 years. What's it going to take to repatriate those jobs, those companies back to the country?
Well, we need energy supply. And I was very, I know Doug Burgum, the former governor, who's now the head of Department of Interior, and he's leading that task force with Chris Wright, who is a business person. Energy, energy, energy. We need a stable energy supply in order to be able to bring manufacturing back to the United States. In addition, we need deregulation. And so we need to look at some of the changes that were made around climate change. They inhibit jobs. They keep us from having a consistent energy supply. Those regulations need to change rapidly. That's what Donald Trump did very well the first time around, and he needs to lean into it this time.
As a native of West Virginia, I'll take that coal, gas, and oil march and run with it. That's a good idea. It is a lot of jobs. They are family-supporting jobs, and it helps the country run. Interesting, you talked about an AI class that you'd taken. These new companies that are developing this AI – are developing their own centers and building their own energy resources in those centers to not be pulling off of the grid, but creating their own power. Is that something that business is going to have to look at as we go through these kinds of changes?
Well, I'm a big proponent of nuclear. Nuclear is the most cost-effective, consistent, clean form of energy that exists. Small modular nuclear reactors have been powering U.S. submarines and ships for a long time. We need to deploy SMRs throughout the United States very quickly. They're doing it in Europe. In fact, American companies can't sell them in the United States and instead are selling them in Europe. So if Poland can have SMRs, we need them too. And that is where the future is, to enable companies to have that consistent supply. AI sucks up a lot of energy.
Does that mean there's a potential for the regular energy grid that we're used to using now? Is there potential to see that change and improve?
Absolutely. If you can connect it to your nuclear reactors, it's going to be far more consistent than if you're dependent upon solar or windmills. It just is. And don't forget, China makes the solar panels and China makes the windmills. And they don't, as Texas learned, and I have family members in Texas, they don't work all the time the way they're supposed to. They're not a 24/7 energy source. And we need 24/7 energy sources.
I lived in California for a brief period of time, and you would drive over into San Francisco. I was in Modesto. So you drive over into San Francisco and you see the windmill farms on the way and how few of them were operating most of the time when you went through there. It was actually kind of surprising to me. And then you've got environmental concerns and the extreme environmentalists going after them operating because of what happens with the birds.
Yeah, I actually lived in the Bay Area, too, so you and I saw the same windmills. we're probably visualizing the same drive-through Vallejo.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, they are not consistent forms of energy. They're just not. And they're actually made with turbines that are made out of fossil fuels. I don't understand where the disconnect is for people, where they don't see that we need consistent energy. When you talk about Bitcoin takes a lot of energy. Data centers take a lot of energy. AI takes energy. We have to get our, and that's why China, as I heard the other day, they're opening something like two coal plants every single day. Why? Because they're transitioning over to AI.
That makes a lot of sense. When we come back, Lisa, I want to talk to you about the impact to the average American, what we can expect as we see these transitions, both in government and in our economy and society in general. Lisa Gable with us on the Florida Roundtable, and we continue in moments here on the Florida News Network. Thanks for spending your time with us this weekend.
It'll never happen to me. I'll never need help. That's what every boater thinks. But then one day, you do need help, and you have no way of getting it because you thought having an emergency locator beacon was unnecessary. You're wrong. Emergency locator beacons are effective, affordable, and they save lives. Seriously. If not for you, do it for them.
Learn more about emergency locator beacons at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Cronk witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable as we take a look at government efficiency, downsizing, and the impact on you and me. What's this going to be like? Lisa Gable is with us. She's the author of Turnaround, How to Change Course When Things Are Going South. Lisa, is going south something we need to anticipate here, or do we just do things that keep it from going there?
We are doing things as fast as we can to keep it from going there. And I have to, again, give a call out to the governors. You have a great governor who's really been anticipating this. He's been building resilient systems in the state of Florida. And I think for people who are even listening to this from around the country, I just spent 3 days with the governors, and they are anticipating the need for services. And the good news is they do and contribute a great deal already to everyday lives to ensure that the people in their state are doing well.
What is all of this drive to efficiency? What's it going to mean for the average person around the country, here in Florida specifically, but what kind of things are we looking at, and what do we do to be ready?
Well, what I hope is, I've actually spent a long time analyzing Estonia. Estonia has 100% e-government. That means that anybody under the age of 30 has never seen a government building. And what they brag about is that they can do everything on through their AI system except get a divorce. But what they have done is they've just have everything based in a push campaign. And so when you push and pull, and so when you're filing your taxes, the system, you can opt into having the system do your taxes for you. They can audit immediately because they already have access to the information, and it's not a privacy issue. You're controlling the opt-ins, but you are not having to deal with calling some 800 number, sitting on some dreadful, you know, interface for some state tax because you had someone buy a good and service in another state, and all of a sudden you find yourself being a Florida resident paying taxes in Massachusetts. That's one place where if they do this correctly, they will make it so much easier for small businesses to operate and actually have businesses and revenue from all over the country. Secondarily is if you're dependent upon government services, there are better ways of providing you with those services. I've heard horrible stories from moms who've had to go and advocate for their child at WIC when they had a job and they lost their job and their child has some illness. That process could actually be based in a way that you receive a notification, hey, you've lost your job, you qualify for this service, push this button, and we'll make sure that you get the goods and services that you need from your government, and we're happy to help you look for another job. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Well, it sounds like it would, yet what percentage of the population doesn't have access to be able to go online, click and push? I guess libraries make computers available, but how secure will people be? How familiar are some people? You know, we've got a significant retirement population here in Florida. Maybe difficult for them to access in that fashion.
Yeah, absolutely understand. I think part of the goal is that if you look at the majority of people who do use apps, is that you can create a system that's just like any app that you interact with. And my mother, who's 85, and a lot of 85-year-old women are very active on Facebook. And so if you think about how they engage with the technology, then you can help deliver a service in a manner that's going to work for them. And so, yes, some people are still going to need someone to call. You're still going to need help. But do you design a system that works for 85% of the people, and then you take the 15%, and that's where you invest money because they need extra help? That's better than designing a system that requires that very expensive complexity when 85% of the people don't interact with technology that way any longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How much buy-in's required from Congress to make this happen?
Well, that is the legal question of the day, right? Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, Ronald Reagan wanted a line item veto. A lot of governors have line item vetoes. I think that we've gotten into this mess because we don't. And what's happened is you have these 26-year-olds running around Capitol Hill who don't know how things operate. They plug a lot of things into massive bills. And so there is a right-sizing process that's going to need to occur. And we need to ensure that we give the executive branch the capability of doing the restructure, then it's incumbent upon the executive branch to make sure that people aren't stuck without their services.
They're talking yet again about continuing resolutions to fund the government. Are we going to get to a point in this country where we can have a budget and get it passed?
Well, one of the things that Chris Wright and Doug Burgum, who I talked about earlier, Secretary of Interior, Secretary of Energy, have spoken about how much energy we do not tap into in the United States that could be $100 trillion in revenue. Think about it. We have opted out of minerals and energy that we could tap into that would help replace those revenue sources and help become the engine to drive our financial success. So in the past, we've heavily depended upon taxes and what you and I bring home in our income. What if that process was reversed and all of a sudden yours and my taxes weren't driving this train, but income that the country was producing was driving the train?
Tariffs a part of that factor in there as well, or no?
I'm not sold on tariffs as an option, but we will see what happens.
Yeah, I guess we will. Let's talk about the Department of Government Efficiency for a minute and the timing of all of this. Is it good politically? Is it good economically? Or is it essential right now?
Well, it's essential. We don't have a choice. We're $36 trillion in debt, and China is winning. So we've got to get our acts together, and we need to start building resilience in the United States, capacity in the United States, and ensuring that the people in the United States get to bring home more of the dollars that they earn. Those are three things that are incredibly important. If we can get that under control, if we can make that happen through good governance and good processes, then we as Americans will be better off.
Have you seen other countries, or maybe there are examples in business that you can cite, where folks have gone through this and gone through it successfully and come out well on the other side?
Well, again, I keep pointing to the tiny country of Estonia, but I understand that Iceland has also gone through the same process. And people go, well, Lisa, how can you talk about countries that just have a few million people? The issue is that technology, like Amazon, it operates the same way if there are 5 people who are using it or 100 billion people who are using it. Technology actually can provide the same service and the same capability. And so once we get our heads wrapped around that, we can look at what other countries have done as role models.
I did a series of shows here on the Roundtable just a few weeks ago about artificial intelligence. Started with concerns, went to how there are very positive things in education, and then concerns about AI and the law. Are there stumbling blocks that these countries or businesses have run into with artificial intelligence being part of the equation?
Well, I think that they've anticipated some of the problems they would run into. The other thing to know is that a lot of these countries are trying to be hacked by the Russians all the time. And mm-hmm. So they've really focused on ensuring that they don't have hackable systems. You have to have smart people that are using AI. And I think one of the things that we've lacked in America is teaching ethics and teaching classical literature and teaching thought processes. I use AI, and I've been using it for 4 years, and I actually tap more into Socrates and Benjamin Franklin for advice than you could possibly imagine, because people are people. And so when you go back and you read decision-making processes and how you design ethical processes, you may have had the tablet one day and AI the next day, but communications will always change. But we are people, and it's always about us and who we are as individuals.
And we're not always ethical people. And these machines, no matter how advanced they become, don't have morals and ethics. And it's about what goes into them and what you're asking of them.
Absolutely. And I think that is the most important thing that really blew up during the last 4 years, right? When people saw Gemini, which was the AI system that had information in it that was false, that was one of the reasons why we are where we are today. I think that that moment where people were putting questions into it and they were getting pictures that made no sense, that right. weren't indicative of American history, that's when you realize how bad it can be. And so we recognize how bad it can be, and it's incumbent upon all of us to challenge the systems. You train the system when you're on the system, and I think people don't realize that. I actually tell the system it's wrong repeatedly. I'm like, nope, that's not true. And the system will apologize. I'm like, can you make sure you retrain your system to do the following things?
Well, then you have the hallucinations where the AI creates its own source material. Talked about it this week on my local show, where a law firm had cited 8 out of 9 cases in a lawsuit, and they were all artificially generated using real judges' names, creating lawsuits and case citations to try to bolster its point in court. Now, the law firm got in a decent bit of trouble for that, apologized profusely, but you have to check the work of those AI devices.
You do. And I actually end up using about 4 different AIs at the same time. What I find is they have different capabilities. They have different types of information. Their accuracy levels are different. But I click through everything. I do research on it. Sometimes when I write articles, I'll be looking for data that backs up a point that I've made, right? I wrote the article. I made a point. I know I heard it someplace, but I'm trying to remember where I read it. And you have to be very, very diligent to make sure that you follow all the lines back to the original source to ensure that that data is indeed accurate.
That leads to something else. We tend to be a very impatient people. I think we've become a drive-through society, and we want answers now.
Right. And we need to be disciplined, and we need to learn and take the time to become smart individuals about how we consume information. It is all up to us. I don't want the government creating any type of sources of information. I want to be able to check it.
And we continue with Lisa Gable in moments right here on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida News Network.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 30 to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works. Call 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Nonpayment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Looking for fun? Florida's Transit connects to adventure. Whether it's a night out in the city, a concert, or a trip to the beach, Florida's Transit Network takes you straight to the action. Skip the hassle of parking and let Transit be your ticket to fun. It's fast, affordable, and always on track. Next time you're heading out for a fun day or night, let Transit get you there. With bus and rail options across the state, your next adventure is just a ride away. For easy access to fun all over Florida, visit transitconnectsflorida.com for schedules and routes.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-621-4764. 800-621-4764. That's 800-621-4764.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with Lisa Gable. And Lisa, as we take a look at efficiency, one of the things where we saw kind of a rapid turnaround in government being efficient is in the immigration situation. It seems like border control is better than it's been for at least 4 years and maybe longer than that. How does something like immigration, folks coming into the country not authorized to be here, how does that impact governments and our businesses here in the country, and what do we do?
Well, absolutely. I am so pleased that President Trump and Governor DeSantis and others have taken a strong line on immigration control. It was frightening how we were letting people into our country with literally no controls. One of the things that I've been talking about, though, is we have now all these people here, and I know we're going to send many people home, but we have shortages in the United States, right? We need more welders. We need more home caregivers, people who can sit with elderly people who have dementia. We call them CNAs, certified nursing assistants. Those are needs that we have, and they require physical help. And so the question I have is, can we do some type of work visa where we certify some of these immigrants in areas that we in the Americas need services and somehow use those people, good people, to help fill gaps?
You know, for many of these people, they are hardworking folks. They will put their nose to the grindstone to do the best they can at the jobs they have. And I've seen it repeatedly across the country. The problem being the criminal illegals that bring the bad stuff into play. Are you suggesting maybe a training program, even if someone's entered the country illegally, to give them a path toward a visa that would let them work and support their family as they needed to?
Absolutely. And I think that's one thing that we as governors and we as leaders need to talk about. It's not as if we're going to get 33 million back to all their countries. And so therefore, do we say we have a shortage? We used to do that. Actually, in the 1800s, if you go back and study 25 years of conversation about immigration in the United States, we actually used to recruit and bring people in for very specific gaps that we had in our economic development. And so I'd like to see us give attention to that and then have a very thorough vetting process for how we can help utilize people who want to stay here, work hard, not necessarily saying a path to citizenship, but we could do worker visas.
Not a bad idea. We talked off air about our time in Modesto near the Central Valley there in California. And I remember that summer of 2006, you had a Republican president, a Republican Congress. There seemed to be solutions on the verge of happening for immigration. And Congress took the summer off for a road trip to feel out the country on immigration. The next fall, Congress got turned over to Democratic control because the Republicans failed to act. Do you see this Congress, this presidency, having the ability to work together on something like you've mentioned?
I think that they could work together. I've been extremely impressed with Speaker Johnson. And also I've known Senator Thune for a long time. They're good, hardworking people. They care about the people in their districts. And I'm hoping that they are people who will put together smart solutions. We're going through a lot of change right now, but I do believe in Washington about 6 months from now, we're going to even out a little bit and perhaps we can have these conversations.
Will that pace slow down in Washington between now and then? It's been hectic so far.
It's not going to slow down, but the thing is that the governors and the mayors in cities are going to have to react, right? They're going to have to come up with solutions to help implement changes that the administration is putting in place. And so these are the conversations I personally want to have at the local level and then elevate them to the government and say, if we do this in our state, what would you do in order to support us? This is how it would contribute to the economy in the United States. This is how it contributes to our safety. This is how it contributes to the bottom line and supports people who have needs.
Do you see incentives available from Washington, D.C. for these counties and cities to opt in and do this?
I actually don't want to see us go back to the block grant system. We tried that under Reagan. We tried it under Bush. And what happens is that every time you have a change in administrations, that money is still there, and then it goes into things we don't like. Instead, what I'd like to do is reduce federal spending and give each of us as Americans more money in our pockets and get the governors more money that they can deploy in their state to meet the needs of the people and the businesses in their state.
Lisa Gable is with us. We'll be back to wrap up this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable in moments here on the Florida News Network as we take a look at downsizing government and elsewhere. We'll get the rest of Lisa's advice before our day's done right here on the Florida News Network.
Fresh Florida greens. These leafy legends turn any dish into a feast of freshness. Wafer thin, they provide layers of vitamins and minerals and fiber. From salads to smoothies, they're the green machine that keeps us on the go with a versatility that makes other vegetables green with envy. Spinach, kale, romaine, these crispy superheroes never wilt under pressure unless the recipe calls for it. To see what Florida leafy greens can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. That's 800-410-6385.
I'm a father.
I'm an aunt. I'm a neighbor.
I'm a veteran.
But out here, on the water,
I'm operating the boat.
A boat operator.
I'm a safe operator.
The operator.
If you're behind the wheel of a boat, you only have one job. Keep everyone safe. Always scan the water and be aware of your surroundings. Learn more about boating safety at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Want to feel better and live healthier? Florida's transit connects to health. Taking transit instead of driving can reduce stress, improve your well-being, and give you more time for the things you love. Whether you're walking to the bus stop or rail station, heading to your favorite park or gym, or making it to a doctor's appointment, transit keeps you moving and connected to your health. Take a deep breath, hop on, and let Florida's transit connect you to a healthier lifestyle. Visit transitconnectsflorida.com to learn more about routes and schedules that support your well-being.
Shortness of breath. Patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. Bill Mick with Lisa Gable. She's the author of Turnaround, How to Change Course When Things Are Going South. Lisa, let's take the last few minutes we have. Let's talk about the book and the recommendations you'll have in there for what folks can do as governments and the rest of us face these changes that are coming.
I've done turnarounds in business, government, and philanthropy, and I have four principles that I use in every single one. One is visualize the future. What do you want the future to look like? Then break down the past. What are we currently doing? How does it operate? Does it contribute to the new vision that we have? That leads into ranking and rating. You have to rank and rate every single quarter, everything that you do. I even do it in my personal life. How am I spending my time? How much is it costing? Is it worth it? Is it helping me meet my objectives? And then the goal is to run as fast as you can because you're going to build a path to your new future. You're going to rank and rate things. And when you rank and rate things, that means you get rid of stuff. So if you think about your house, you have to get rid of stuff. And you have to let things go because things that we did before may not fit in the future that we have. And as we enter into the world of AI, this process is going to become more important than ever, and you're going to have to do it very rapidly. And I outline in my book how I've done it in 3 months to turn around a $32 million operation, how I did it in 80 days to raise $100 million for a medical research organization. You can do it quickly, you can do it effectively, but remember, every time you make a change, it impacts people, so be nice about it.
I'm trying to decide if I want to invite you to see my garage or I don't want you to ever see it. One of the two.
Yes, my husband hates that.
It sounds busy, but they also seem like solid principles that will help you affect change. Do you see the Trump administration and the Department of Government Efficiency under Elon Musk applying these principles?
I see them applying these principles, but what I don't see them doing is explaining it to people. Communication is more important than ever. When you are taking things away from people, you have to tell them what they're getting in return. It's just common sense, and it requires also being empathetic. People do not like change. They're scared. You have to build trust.
If you had a 10-minute session with Elon Musk, what would it sound like?
Rephrase the following things. Thank you for your work. It's been very important. Unfortunately, what you're currently doing is based on systems that no longer are where we're going to be in the future. Let us work with you to help you find a new job, and we appreciate your service.
Okay. And I would like to see that happen. I've got friends, like I said, my neighbor, who is scared right now about what's going to happen at her federal job at the Space Force base. She's a civilian contractor there. She's got other employees around her doing the same. I've got listeners who have reached out to me about their spouses losing jobs in these first weeks of efficiency moves. And it seems like those moves aren't always the best thought out. It's a lot of quick action. Have they gone deep enough to know and understand what needs to go yet?
I think that there are plenty of people in Washington that have done ranking and rating for years. And if they would ask us, we could walk in and say, these are the things that work. These are the things that don't work. Here's what you should do. But they're not asking us right now. So there is a bit of arrogance in the process. And what I hope is that we don't have so much hubris that we lose our momentum. What they're doing is so important. We desperately, desperately need it as a country. But they're are people in D.C. who've been focused on this for 40 years. You know, those Reaganites, we're all still alive. We're all still kicking. We know what needs to change. Just ask us.
Lisa, where do we find Turnaround if we'd like to get a deeper look at what you're saying here?
You can order it online at any major bookstore, including Amazon.
All right. Very good. Lisa Gable, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for taking the hour this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Hope we can talk again soon.
I hope so, too. Thanks so much.
And that's going to do it for the Roundtable this weekend. We'll see you next weekend right here on the Florida News Network. If it's happening around the country and in Florida and impacting you, we'll have it on the Florida Roundtable. Enjoy your week, folks.
Great. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on News and Public Affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.